Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy,
joining you live tonight right here around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South. And my, we are so glad to have you in here with us, ladies and gentlemen, because you know why? We got a wonderful program for you. I believe it's going to prove to be very, very informative and enlightening. Maybe, perhaps, we could just answer some of the questions that could have been troubling your mind somewhere along the way. As you study in Scripture, you know that Pastor Buddy likes to get into these controversial doctrines that would stir up your pure heart, that you might want to take hold of the eternal crown that's laid up for you. You know, at least you ought to at least polish it every once in a while, you know. Work on it. The Bible said to study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And when you get into the truth, you'll know that, as the old saying goes, that we got down here in the South, that man just knows enough to be dangerous. Have you ever heard that? Well, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing, ladies and gentlemen. And we're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. We're going to get into the subject tonight. Call a friend and a neighbor and tell them that Pastor Buddy's live on WWRB 3.185 around the world tonight on Clear Channel. For those of you that are downloading us on your internet connections, we're thankful that we have the privilege and the means of bringing it to you with the computer downloads and the micro downloaders that are transmitting live tonight around the world with Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. We're thankful for you, and you're doing a great work out there. Keep up the good work. Let's spread the news tonight. Whom did Moses marry? We're going to take that up in a teaching tonight. We're going to spend the whole hour on it. You better get your pen and paper. You might want to take notes. You might hear some things tonight you've never heard. Well, it never gets beyond half-truths, which mislead people into false beliefs. It is consistently true in the field of religion, as you very well know, more than in all other areas. Religion is something that would provoke, and there's so many doctrines prevailing across the world tonight, ladies and gentlemen, it's almost unreal. Now, sometimes when people think that they have found a fallacy in the Bible, and it's great truth, that Yahweh's people, Israel, are known today as the Anglo-Saxon, the Scandinavian, the Teutonic people, Israel is and has always been under Yahweh's command to keep their race pure. Now, when I say that, you're going to say, well, Pastor Buddy, you must be a racist. I think everybody ought to be a racist in their own race if you're pure. Now, if you're all mongrelized up and it don't really matter because you've already destroyed your originality, and People say, well, how do you know where you appear tonight? Blood don't have anything to do with it, honey. You've got to be saved. Well, I covered that last night in detail at 11 o'clock. Now, we had a lot of storms in the area down there tonight. It's raining down in Arkansas like pouring water out of a boot. Brother Bob, our webmaster, has done informed me that it's raining down there. And, ladies and gentlemen, it was raining up here yesterday. Brother Dave told me that it was torrential. I mean, there was lightning, thunder, maybe a thunder cloud passed over. The station had been knocked out 3 or 4 times with the power because it's very sensitive to electric storms, as you very well know. So we apologize for the inconvenience of you listening, audience that was listening to us last night at 11 o'clock. We had a late starting time in the east. But in the western states, it's right on the money in prime time. So you can't ever have everything like. And we're looking for a earlier, or later, if you will, a starting time on Saturday night. We're on 8 o'clock, and, you know, and that's murder on the shortwave system. A lot of people tell us that, you know, they have so much daylight static in the evening there that they can't hear us. But we apologize for that, and maybe Dave would be fortunate enough and good enough to us. He's always helped us in any way he can, and maybe he could make it make us a later starting time on Saturday night. And then we got our schedule pretty well up and going from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock and somewhere in between there. So you need to check our radio schedule out. On Monday night, we're on at 9 o'clock. On Tuesday, we're on at 11. On Wednesday, we're on at 10. On Friday, we're on at 9:30. And then Saturday we have an early starting time, just a little bit too early, maybe at 8 o'clock. But we would try to, maybe I can twist Brother Dave's arm and he'll try to find us a new schedule. And I know he's got a full plate on WWRB 3.185, so we're very fortunate to get the time that we do have. And we're going to get into this heritage series on who Jacob Israel is. Now, you may be surprised because, you see, the misnomer and the misconception of a lot of people is that Israel and the Gentiles, or better yet, let me back up and rephrase that, not Israel, they don't say Israel, it said the Jews and the Gentiles. That's the two major classes of people in the earth. If you're not Jewish, you have to be Gentile. That is so wrong. I can't emphasize enough. There's a people missing out of that equation, and that would be the house of Israel. We say, well, that's the Jews. Oh, no, it is not. Ladies and gentlemen, wake up and smell some coffee here. How long have you been reading the Bible? Don't you know that the two houses were divided? That the people that we call today Jewish are from the house of Judah. And the people that are lost are the lost sheep, the 10 northern tribes. They're gone somewhere. And I just told you that the Anglo-Saxon, the Scandinavian, and the Teutonic people has been and always will be under Yahweh's command to keep their race pure. Now, I get a lot of challenges and frequent questions like this. Why shouldn't whites marry blacks and yellows marry blacks and blacks marry yellows and whites marry yellows and so on and so forth? You see, ladies and gentlemen, that's interbreeding with the blood. And it defiles, if you will, the originality of Yahweh's intention to make these races different colors and then told them to stay pure. Now, Moses married an Ethiopian woman, didn't he, Pastor Buddy? And right away, their mind goes black. That the Ethiopian was black. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, that's not true. Because we're going to cover that in detail and show you that it's a misconception. Now, we're quoting from the base of our projection of our foundation of Gestalt here. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. Now, here's how it reads. In the King James Bible. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman who he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Christianity has never labored under a greater curse than the many mistranslations in the King James Bible. There's 22,000 known errors in the King James. Now, some of them are typographical, and some of them are just misinterpretations of the word. And that's what we're going to deal with tonight. And these mistranslations are even followed in some other translations because these errors have become traditional. Bible scholars know that there are many thousand mistranslations in the King James Bible, and they readily admit it. The eminent scholar Robert Young, author of Young's Analytical Concordance to the Bible and of Young's literal translation of the Bible, says in the preface to his literal translation in the King James Bible, there are scarcely two consecutive verses where there isn't some departure from the original. Now, are you listening to that? This is Young's Analytical Concordance, says that in the King James Bible, now this is my Bible, that's the one I study out of. It's become the original, the Bible of choice, but it's not the original writings. You see what I'm talking about? And so Young is saying that they constantly have strayed in the consecutive verses, that there isn't some departure from the original. These variations may be counted by the tens of thousands, as admitted on all hands, and the general consensus is, like I said, is 22,000 errors or mistranslations in the King James. And you say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. It's a good book. Well, we're not saying it's not, but it's if you don't do your homework, if you don't get you a Strong's Concordance or a Young's Analytical Concordance, and check out the words of the original scriptures, and then let the English, you see, there's so much devaluation of the scriptures because of the language that is inferior in translation. And so then, now let me get back to Moses and his wife in Numbers 12 and 1. The Hebrew does not say Ethiopian. Oh. Now, let me give that to you again. In Numbers 12 and 1, with the correct translation, the Hebrew does not say Ethiopian. It says Cush. Now, a descendant of Cush, or a resident of the land of Cush. Remember that Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Genesis 10 and 6 tells us that the sons of Ham were Cush, there you go, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. Noah and his wife were both Aryan, so all their children naturally were of the same race. Are you understanding what I'm talking about here tonight? The children would have naturally typed after their parents, and it would have been impossible for one of them to be black and the other to be yellow and one to be white, or one to be brown, or whatever. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So we need to remember these things, ladies and gentlemen, and by doing so, we can understand that it don't say Ethiopian. That's the first misconception or mistranslation. That's a very important one, because everybody that reads it, well, he had to be a black man, or she had to be a black woman. And there's two instances in the Bible where Ethiopian is mentioned, one a woman and one a man. In the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, it is recorded that an Ethiopian man, there again it's a bad translation, as it is in Numbers 12 and 1. The word would be Cush. a resident descendant of Cush. And these were descendants of Ham. Now, Ham was white, and Shem was white, and Japhel was white, according to Genesis 10 and 1, or Aryan, blushing red, ability to blush. So, one of Ham's sons was Mizraim, meaning Egyptian. We know from all the Egyptian art, including their marvelously fine portrait sculpture during all the many centuries of Egypt's greatness, that they were a pure Aryan people. In fact, during this time, anyone found not to be Aryan in Egypt other than a slave working in chains in the fields was killed on sight. Ham's other son, Cush, was without question also white. Are you listening? Ham's other son, Cush, was without a question. It's without question here, ladies and gentlemen. They were all genetically pure in their generations. Now, if Noah was black, then all the descendants of the bloodline of the Messiah was black. You see what I'm talking about? And if Cush was yellow, and Noah was yellow, that would have made Noah and his wife yellow, and that would have made the descendants into the bloodline of the Messiah, they would have made them yellow. Now, we're not saying that white is right, because there's a lot of people white wrong, if you understand. There's only a selected few, and I talked about that last night. There's only a remnant. Now, out of the house of Shem, only Shem was given a blood and contract covenant that these offspring would be called Shemites. But it was all right for the Shemites to take daughters out of the house of Japhel, or out of the other sons of Japhel or Ham. And so the Shemites or the Hamites and the Japhelites could intermarry, and there was no problem because it's not adulterating the blood. Do you see what I'm talking about? And that's what Moses done. He married a Cushite, not an Ethiopian, through the error of the translation of the King James Bible. Now, how are we going to deal with this, ladies and gentlemen? Well, because now I know what the Bible said. It says it's an Ethiopian. Glory to God, and I'm sticking to the Word of God. It's infallible. That's the way God spoke it. That's the way it was written in the Bible, and that's what I believe. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you believe that, I've got some ocean front property for you down in mid-Arizona. There were two different countries named Cush in biblical times. One of those countries was Ethiopia, lying south of the Sudan in Africa. There was another Cush that was in eastern Mesopotamia, or what at other times was part of the Babylonian Empire. Now, these people were not a black race at any time. This Cush kingdom flourished around 1500 B.C. during the time of Moses. And the Exodus from Egypt occurred in 1486 B.C. Now, who can we expect to find living in this Cush on the east side of the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers from what people that lived there did Moses take his wife? No, there is absolutely nothing anywhere in the Bible which says or even hints that Moses was ever in Ethiopia, in the distant Ethiopia, in the Sudan in Africa. That was the Ethiopia of that time. But there was this other Cush that was in eastern Mesopotamia, where the general area of what we're talking about. And these people were not black. And this Cush, the civilization, flourished again around 1500 B.C. Now, from where Did Moses get his wife now? Note, there is absolutely nothing anywhere in the Bible which says or even hints that Moses was ever in Ethiopian or in the eastern part of Africa or any place else where he could have found a black woman to marry. The Bible tells us when Moses got his wife, or where he got his wife, or who she was. Remember, Moses had killed an Egyptian who was beating an Israelite, defending his own kind. We know that to be a fact. Now, in Exodus chapter 2, verses 15 through 21, write these down, ladies and gentlemen. We read, now when Pharaoh heard of this thing that Moses had done, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt, guess where? In the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well, and the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the trough to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped the daughters and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that you are come so soon today? Because they were accustomed to have to wait till the camel shepherds came and watered their livestock, and so it was late in the evening before that they could come back. And he wanted to know why that they had got in so early. And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, why is it that you have left the man? Call him that we may eat bread. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. We know partially from this that Moses married the daughter of the priest of Midian. His name was Reuel, which means friend of Yahweh, or friend of God, or friend of El. It is given in the variant form of Reuel in one or two places, and sometimes he is called Jethro. And the King James picked that one up. Jethro, listen to this now, is the name Yithro. Y-I-T-H-R-O, not J-E-T-H-R-O. It's Yithro, and means His Excellency. This is a title of great respect, and it's not a name. Who were the Midianites for where Moses got his wife? Genesis 25 and 1 tells us that after the death of his wife Sarah, then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bore him Zimran, and Joshan, and Midian, and Midan, and Ishbak, and Shaul. Midian was the son of Abraham. Abraham had been told by Yahweh the great promises would be fulfilled by his son Isaac, not through any of his other sons. Therefore, he gave his inheritance only to Isaac, but he loved his other sons, and also they dwelt fairly with them. They dealt fairly with them. In Genesis 25 and 6, it tells us, but unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave them gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived eastward into the east country. Logically, he would want them to move more than just a few miles away, as the whole idea was to send them far enough away that they would not be neighbors of Isaac and perhaps quarrel with him over the inheritance. The next place of any importance to which they could go would be Cush. Cush was in the valley of the Tigris and the Euphrates, the same country which at other times was part of the important Babylonian Empire of the Mesopotamians. And so Midian and his descendants became Cushites, which now is being translated, get it, Ethiopian, and it's wrong. People living in the kingdom of Cush. Remember, though, that by race, they were descendants of Abraham, closely related to Isaac and his descendants, the Israelites. However, they remained and were a separate nation and never became a part of Israel, since this is the only wife that the Bible tells us Moses had. It is clear, very clear, that she was a Midianite whose family lived in Cush in the Tigris and the Euphrates Valley. This is where Moses would logically have found his wife, and it was permissible for this race, if they were Aryan, to marry into the Midianites because they were Aryan, which became Cushites, which now is translated erroneously as Ethiopians. You see what I'm talking about? Ladies and gentlemen, we're certain that Moses never married a race, be it black or yellow. He only married into his race, and the dispute that Aaron and Miriam had with Moses was not that he married this white woman or this Aryan woman, providing that Moses was white, and there's some dispute on that by other races. The blacks believe that Moses was black. I've heard him preach it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to get into the scripture and then examine the scriptures, and we're going to have to see which one of them could blush, because we find that these people could blush. And that's an exclusive right to the sons of Adam, who itself means was from the earth, who had the ability to blush and turn red. Adam. Remember that Moses was brought up in Pharaoh's house as the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was educated as an Egyptian of a royal family. The Egyptians considered, now, listen to this now, the Egyptians considered the other races as wild animals to be killed on sight or to become slaves. The son of royalty would not take a wife from this type of blood, ladies and gentlemen, from the eastern area of Cush in Africa, where the darker races were at and where they were at until they were brought to America on the slave ship. This is where that the slave trade started picking up. And ladies and gentlemen, they had slaves in the Bible. There's nothing wrong with having slaves if you read the Bible. And they could be white slaves. We know, well, you don't hear about that, but there were actually white slaves in the Bible. And there were black slaves. And there were yellow slaves, and still are. Even today, the slave trade, whether you believe it or not, it's still flourishing in some of these countries where we never get the message, but it is true. Now, while Moses was guarding the flocks of his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, that Yahweh appeared to him in the burning bush. This was when Moses was commissioned by Yahweh to go to Egypt to set Yahweh's people, Israel, free. Now, when Moses returned to his own people, he taught them their proud heritage as Yahweh's people, Israel. He brought them up to speed. He also taught them that they must keep their race pure. In the seventh chapter of Deuteronomy, it is duly noted that they were not to make marriages with any other race. Now, I didn't write the Bible. I just believe it. And I'm not afraid to preach it either, because Yahweh has anointed me to preach His gospel, and the Bible said, woe to the shepherd that fails to declare the whole counsel. Well, I got to declare the whole counsel, whether you like it, whether it's tradition, or whether it goes against your grain, or whether it upsets you. If it is true that Moses married a woman who was not an Israelite, and it is, she was not an Israelite, but she was of the same race. being out of the house of Ham. You say, well, I know that the Ham race was black. I've had people to tell me that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, how did that happen? How could Noah, if Noah was white, how could him and his white wife have a black baby and call him Ham, and Shem could be white and Japheth, maybe he was yellow? That's generally what people believe. But, ladies and gentlemen, they're going to type after their own, and the Bible says emphatically that Noah was righteous in his genetics or in his genealogy. It's true that Moses married a woman who was not an Israelite. However, she was not only a white woman, I believe. Now, there's others that believe that she was black or yellow. Take your choice. Take your pick. I'm just preaching what the Bible said. That she was actually a descendant of Abraham. We can prove that from the land of Cush, not Ethiopia now. Because Ethiopian has been added through the text later on, but the original language said Cush, a Cushite, from the son of Abraham and Keturah. So they was close relatives of the Israelites. This matter of the wife of Moses can't be used as a justification for race mixing, as they do today. Moses did not marry outside the race of his color. He just married outside his nation, and that's what upset the others, because there was hundreds and hundreds of Israelite women that Moses could have married inside the camp. Now, she must have been a good-looking woman, or she must have been... it must have been meant for him to get this woman from the priesthood that Moses himself made acquaintance with, the one that we call Jethro, which is Yithro in the Bible, which is a royal seed. And that's where Joseph got his wife, from the priest of On. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a history of the Hyksos that in Egypt, the pre-dynasty, before this race of what we call present-day Egyptians, which were not as they were then. And here is where that we have to buck the tide and preach you the truth and go against the rain. Yahweh had his own purposes in mind when he made the different races. Each was made suited to the purpose that Yahweh had planned for it. Some of this is just to try those races to see if they would remain loyal, because Yahweh said when a man or a woman lays with the beast of the field, it brings forth children of offspring that are confused. It brings forth confusion. They don't know whether they're white or black or yellow. And that's a confusion of the blood. We got that going on all over the earth. That's why that the earth is running rampant and wild and uncontrollable. People don't recognize the original gene from that. They don't understand. They can't type. They can't relate. I know that when our boys went to Vietnam, they started marrying the Asian women, and they had offspring. You know how soldiers are. They're away from home. They sort of get. You know, like horny a little bit, and they have sex, and these women started having babies all over Vietnam. And the Vietnamese despised them. And Americans didn't want them because they weren't full-blooded. They didn't bring them home. And today there's still animosity between those mixed races. And because the Bible says it will bring confusion, you are not to mix with another race. And if you do, you defy Yahweh, and the results are always bad. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know that mongrelization is equally a sin against both races. Now, let me repeat that. Mongrelization is just not bad for the white race to mongrelize into other races. It's bad for the other races to mongrelize into the white race. It creates the word confusion. The offspring don't know what color they are, what nationality they are. They've lost their identity by mixing the two bloods, and then the genes fight. And that's what the Bible says. Yahweh had, you know, he had a plan. Now, let me read you. After its kind is written in Genesis. Will you read the word after its kind, after it or his kind? And Yahweh saw that it was good. But were all the non-Adamic races after it or his kind? And did Yahweh see that they were good? Yes. Mongolization is a sin against the white race, but what if the other races were bad from the beginning? Yahweh sure, Christ in a flesh body at Matthew 13:47-50, definitely stated that there were a good racial kind and a bad racial kind. Now, let me convey this message in its proper context. Verse 47 of Matthew chapter 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a net that was cast into the sea of people, and that's what it meant, into the sea, meaning people, because that's who he was. He wasn't illustrating. He was just using this parable of the sea to bring in the different types of fish. Now, listen to that. And gathered of every kind, this is meaning race, in verse 48, which when it was full, the net was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good, that's racial kind, into vessels, but cast the bad, racial kind, away. Verse 49, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast the bad racial kind into the furnace of fire, and those that have mixed and mongolized them seed have destroyed their own originality of kind after kind. Don't you get it? There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now don't get mad at me. This is the words of the Messiah. And he said that an enemy came and sowed this into the minds of people that to encourage them to develop these instincts that it's okay. And they used this scripture that Moses married a black woman to justify what's going on today. But it's not, ladies and gentlemen, it just ain't there. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not there. And why wouldn't it be there? Simply because Yahweh didn't put it there. That's why Yahweh did not intend for the mongolization of these beings to do this. Now why? Because Yahweh's got a plan, and he says, you know, it says, ladies and gentlemen, that if he talked about the racial kind after kind, of course we're comparing fish to the beings upon the planet. He was not interested in fish because he made all those fish. And whether you believe it or not, the fish do not mongolize. Let me give you another one. A blackbird will never mate with a dove, a white dove. A white dove will never mate outside of its species. I mean a crow, not a dove. Doves will mate with doves, and crows will mate with crows. They don't cross breed. A bluebird will not mate with a redbird. A redbird will not mate with a hummingbird. A hummingbird will not mate with a finch. So only man has defied Yahweh's laws. Only man has turned himself corrupt and made himself a laughing stock. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, it's a shame. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Now, I'm going to go right back to Deuteronomy, and I'm going to read a verse of scripture for you. And then you can deal with the scripture. You can analyze the scripture. And why was Yahweh trying to command that the races stay in the original form? Well, it's very plain. Now notice this. and when Yahweh, this is verse 1 of chapter 7 of Deuteronomy. When Yahweh, your Elohim, shall bring thee into the land where that thou go to possess it. Now here's what he said. Do you think he'd let Moses defy his laws right here? I don't think so. Well, you say, well, buddy, you never did explain up there in the book of Acts, chapter 8, that the Ethiopian eunuch, which had been up to Jerusalem to worship. So he must have been a black man. So they let blacks in the temple up there. No, they didn't. If the Israelites were Aryan white or the Caucasians, who we find a history, ladies and gentlemen, this is how we're rich in heritage. There is a history of the Aryan Caucasian race that came from this land and came into the Western countries as the Scandinavians, the Anglo-Saxons, the Teutonic, and races that are generally believed to be Aryan Caucasian. That's why they ask you if you're white or black or yellow. There's nothing wrong with the other races. Yahweh said it was good. What's wrong is that they want to miscegenate and crossbreed. It's getting prevalent, just like it was in the days of Noah, and Noah was the only family left on earth that had genetics that was 100% original. When you go into the land and you cast out these many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. They're going to cast them out, ladies and gentlemen. They all live. These seven nations are living where Israel is going to possess the land. Plus the fact that they had these giants, they had to kill them too. Now, where do these giants come from? Well, that's another message at another time, but I'd love to get on that for just a moment and give you some of the racial genetic covenants of the reptilians that we're breeding today. Verse 2, and when Yahweh shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. This is Yahweh suggesting you kill them all. Well, that don't go over too good with sweet Jesus in this day and time. That just don't cut the gray, does it? Not the Christians. See, they've been so dumbed down and got away from the covenants. You can't go to any 501(c) church and preach what I'm preaching. They won't let me. I've been there. I tried it. They won't let you. It's against their laws of tradition. It ain't against the Bible for me to read this, is it? I don't think so. Not yet. Listen to it. You shall utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, and show no mercy unto them. Show no mercy. Now listen here. Neither shall you make, verse 3, this is the one I want you to get. Neither shall thou make marriages with them, their daughters, and thy daughter, thou shalt not give unto his son. You won't give your daughters, the Israelite daughter, over to these seven nations. You don't do that. Nor you shall you give his daughter and take them into thy son. You don't do that. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of Yahweh be kindled against you and destroy you suddenly, and thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their images. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know whether you know this or not, but and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire, for thou art a holy people unto Yahweh thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above, not below, not equal, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know whether you know what I'm talking about here tonight, but this is a plain old covenant. This is a plain old covenant now. For you to know that Yahweh, is coming after a people that's racially pure. I don't care whether you believe that. I don't care whether you have been traditionized to think different, but you better get it back to the old landmark. You better keep yourself pure and unspotted from the world. You better know and believe that Yahweh is coming after a people that has kept the faith and hadn't denied his great name. Now, notice this. Now, Moses, he hath chosen you to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. So that Yahweh will not, he did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than in any other people, but that you were the fewest of all people. But because Yahweh loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore unto your fathers. I just got through doing a discourse, ladies and gentlemen, that Moses did not marry a stranger or a black woman or a yellow woman. Now, let's say if the blacks are correct, and some of these preach the reverse message of what I'm preaching. I preach that Moses was white. I preach that Noah was white, and I preach that Adam was white, and they all had the ability to blush. I believe that the Caucasian race can do that, and I think it's a rich heritage of the Bible. Now, there's people, preachers, I've got a friend of mine in Arkansas. He writes me two or three letters a week sometimes, and he reminds me that all of he calls them the Jews, he said all the Jews were black, and white people have leprosy. They turn white. That's a curse, he said. And he really believes that. The man is sincere. Well, give him credit for upholding his race of his people. Give him credit. I don't argue with him 1 minute. That's what he believes. Well, I don't know about any Asiatics that claim this, but I do know black, it's a prevailing doctrine that the Hebrews or the Jews were black. Well, ladies and gentlemen, they either have to be black, white, or yellow, or a mixture somewhere between the serpent seed and the woman in the garden. Take your pick. Let me read on. A special people. I didn't choose you because you were the most. I chose you because you were a special people. Oh, my. And because Yahweh loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn to the fathers, hath Yahweh brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen and from the hand of Pharaoh. And know this, that Yahweh, your Elohim, is a faithful El, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. Now, verse 10, and I'm going to close and wrap up my message. I don't have time to go to the book of Ezra. I suggest you go over to the 13th chapter of Nehemiah. I suggest you go over to the 9th chapter of the big book of Ezra and read 9 through 10. Chapters 9 through 10. You're going to be surprised what happened over there. They had to put away their... They were married. I mean, they went a-whoring. They corrupted their flesh. They lay with strange adulterous women to adulterate the blood. And Yahweh was displeased with that. And when they come back to set up the temple, Ezra and Nehemiah cursed and pulled their hair out and was embarrassed. They laid on the ground, a blushing in their face, was afraid to look up. And Yahweh repays them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him or disobeys him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command you this day to do them. And it shall come to pass, if you will hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that I will keep unto thee the covenant which was mercy, which I swear to the fathers. And he will love you, and he will bless you, and multiply you. He will bless the fruit of your womb. You know that the Aryan white race, the Caucasian, is fast disappearing. They're going to be an endangered species. That we are now going to be a minority in America. We're already minorities in the other countries, ladies and gentlemen. That the Aryan race, the Caucasian race, is only 10% of the world's population and fading fast. And out of that, only the house of Shem, who has a covenant. And that's where you get your remnant, ladies and gentlemen. Are you listening to me tonight? Are you understanding what I'm saying? I hope you have. You got my message tonight. Did Moses marry a black woman from Ethiopia? I don't think so, according to the Bible. And I give you definite proof that he married into the family of Cush, which was a son of Abraham and Keturah. Both of these would have been Aryan Caucasians, if so be that Abraham was white and could blush. If the descendants of Abraham could blush. We know that the Messiah could blush. It says so in the Bible. We know his face was white. It says so in the Bible. We know that David could blush. It says so in the Bible. He was of a ruddy complexion. It's a blushing complexion. And he was very fair and good to look upon. And the most envious of all the world is the Aryan white women. Now, the men don't look so hot. Except me. I look pretty good. But the women are fantastic. There's nothing like them on earth. They're the envy of all the other races in the world. That's why they seek to miscegenate. They've got beautiful offspring. I'll have to admit that. When the darker races marry into the Aryan races, they produce some permanent tanned glow, just like white women want to tan themselves up and be healthy looking and glow. These people come out naturally looking like. I don't even have to lay in the sun to get this glow and what America and the world has typified to be beautiful. We got the Hollywood starlets. Look at some of them. They have miscegenated into a color that even ain't in the original makeup. Yahweh made us just like he wanted us. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to call my sponsor tonight, that'd be Dr. Gary. A great man, a fantastic man. I've never met a man like him. You just love him. You just got to love this man. He's a wonderful saint. He's very dedicated to his work and his mission. And he's a strong believer in biblical principles. He don't compromise. You can call Dr. Gary for Miracle 2 products and Vitamir. 1-877-289-7439. And ladies and gentlemen, he's a strong supporter. Has been ever since. I mean, Dr. Gary was my initial supporter in our endeavor on WWRC. We've been there ever since. And now we're on WWRB. And he's been with me ever since. Call Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. You can call my sponsor up in Michigan. That would be Brother Paul for StemTech, 1-800-253-2748. Both these men are amazing Israelite men, and I'm so proud to be associated with them. And to all of you that hold up Pastor Buddy's hands, I've got just hundreds of them that love me and appreciate and are praying for me and holding up my hands and provide me with funds that I can live and pay the radio times and that extra time I've got. And it's been wonderful, ladies and gentlemen, for the support of the Shepherd's Call. We're now on 5 nights a week. We could expand by you helping us. We need your help. So just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now, that's the Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Or you can call me. I'm live tonight. Area code 423-626-2172. And I see that my time is coming gone. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you. Friday night at 9:30 around the world on the Clear Channel, WWRB 3.185. And Yahweh is coming soon for a people that loves him and keeps the faith. Take that one pair of hand and get in it. Let him hide you in the palm of his hand. I promise you that you'll overcome just like he did. And he'll love you, and you can look upon his face. His head and his heart was white.
Every bird, every
oh, my.
Fly.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be happy in that day. And Pastor Buddy's preached you this message tonight.
One
Moses did not marry Ethiopia. Yahweh bless you. I love you.
Shun the rivers and the sand. Those hands are so strong. So when life goes